Turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16. No, actually, let's start in verse 14. About 4 weeks ago, somewhere in that neighborhood, I preached from 2 Timothy 2, 14 and 15. But what we're reading tonight kind of goes along with it. Well, it doesn't kind of. It does go along with it. And I'm not going to re-preach what I did a month ago, but I want to start from the beginning. All right. Would you stand with me as we read 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past. They overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. Again, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you now asking that, Lord, you reveal your word to us. Open our hearts and our minds that we may understand. Lord, apply it to our lives so that we may mature in you and live for you to your honor and to your glory. I pray, Lord, that your will be done in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, the Apostle Paul, as he writes this, he's writing this to young Timothy, who's a pastor at the church of Ephesus. And he's basically giving instruction to this young man. Okay, Timothy, here are things you need to do. Here are things you need to watch out for. And that's what this part, and beginning in verse 16, he's pointing at Timothy, saying, okay, Timothy, you need to be mindful. You need to watch out. And you need to shun profane and idle babblings. Have you ever knew a preacher who babbled? Don't answer that. Well, let's get the meaning of those two words. The profane, it means godless or worldly. And idle babblings is just simply empty talk. And so you put the two together, it's worldly, empty talk that does not amount to anything. And what Paul is talking about, he's talking about false teachers who just basically teach empty chatter. Messages that don't mean anything. Nothing that has any substance. Nothing that has any life-changing effect. And you know, they had that problem in Paul and Timothy's day. You know, and I thought, wow, if they had that problem in that day, how much more do we have the problem today? Preachers today are turning from the Scripture. They are, churches are turning to every possible source for preaching instead of the Word of God. Listen, you take the Word of God away, we have nothing to preach and to meet about on Sunday morning. I love the singing. Brother Dale does a good job. I love the people. But most of all, I love that we have the Word of God that we can draw something of substance from so that we'll know how to live when we leave this place. You know, if I could give my advice And that's what Paul's doing. He's giving his advice to young preachers. If I could give any young preacher advice, I would give them the following advice. Are you ready? Number one, don't pull your sermons from the internet. That's not study. Get into the Word of God. Don't pull your sermons from really good books. There are some people from that are really good writers out there. And I'm not saying we shouldn't read these books. But from a pastor-preacher standpoint, it's our job. It's the pastor's job. And that's what what Paul's saying to Timothy. It's your job to dig down into the Scripture and let God speak to you for Himself through the Scripture. That's why I preach so many series of messages that are based upon books. Because I want to cover the Word of God. You know? And I want to cover the whole Word of God. And as church members, let me encourage you. Don't settle for anything less than Bible-based preaching, period. If it doesn't come from the Word of God, it's of no value to you. You know, a preacher can be entertaining, he can be very eloquent, but beloved, if he does not feed you from the Scripture, he's doing you no good. Such teaching is not only, it's like junk food in the spiritual diet. It's bad for you. Paul said in verse 16, For they will increase to more ungodliness. You want to know why church members are no different than the world anymore? It's because a lot of them are not being fed. A lot of them do not know. You know, when I grew up, probably a lot of y'all are the same way with me. I grew up with the Bible stories. I knew who Noah was. I knew who Abraham was. I knew who Job was. I knew who the Apostle Paul was. I knew these guys because I was taught. Now in many churches, it's just babysitting. You know? The point being, we've got to get, you know, churches today, we've got to stand upon the Word of God and have a love and a desire for the Word of God. So much so that not only do we preach it on Sunday and live it on Monday, we get back into it from day to day. If you go a day without opening your Bible, you've wasted a day. I think we're living in that time, though, where Paul wrote in this same chapter, and I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit, chapter 4, verse 2. He tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You know, I look at things today and I think, how could anybody have a gay pastor? That is so contrary to the Word of God. But people don't want to hear it. I mean, it sounds good. Let's all just go hold hands and we're all trying to get to heaven together. No. People today, in many churches, there are battle going on. And I'll be honest with you, in the Methodist church, there's a battle going on. That battle is gay pastors and gay marriage. And it's beyond me. But we've come to that point that Paul was telling Timothy about. People don't want to hear the truth anymore. And they don't want to hear it because they haven't heard from their pulpits. Pastors have quit preaching the truth. You know? I mean, you don't have to look very long before you realize that homosexuality is just wrong in the eyes of God. Just go to Romans chapter 1. That's one place. We've gone to a society who wants to be a people who are patted on the back with feel-good sermon and lights, actions, and camera, and it's all about the show. It's not all about the show. It's all about the Word of God. What are you getting? And folks, I'll be honest with you, you know, even, and I'm talking to myself, you've got to keep me accountable. I'm not preaching the Word. I'm not loving the Lord. And I'm not doing you justice. Paul even, he steps out and he gets very personal there in verse 17. And he says, their message spreads like cancer. Isn't that the way false doctrine spreads? Just a little bit at a time, the first thing you know, it consumes the church. But where I said he gets real personal, he starts naming names. I kind of like that, don't you? Paul says in verse 17, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. Here are the guys that are spreading the cancer that's destroying the church, Paul is saying. They had strayed from the truth. And you know what's funny? That word strayed there, that's used, it doesn't mean that they woke up one day and said, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm just going to forsake the truth and turn the other direction. That word strayed, it describes a slow drifting from the truth. And, you know, I thought, wow, isn't that how Satan works? Just a little bit at a time so that it's not noticeable. Paul's telling Timothy, you better beware. It'll start small. It'll go slow. And then you'll wake up one day and you'll have, your church will be consumed with teaching that has no substance. Paul said they taught the resurrection had already happened. Now, I thought about that and I thought, well, how could they teach that the resurrection has already happened? But according to some of the references that I run down there, there was a teaching going on at that time that said the resurrection was a spiritual thing, not a physical thing. And so they were telling people that the physical doesn't matter. It's all about spiritual. And since the physical didn't matter, people were living any old way they wanted to. Immorality was taking over the church and everybody thought it was okay. Because after all, physical doesn't matter. And it was completely corrupting that church. And is that not what's going on today? I mean, people are going through motions. And nobody will stand up and say, well, the physical doesn't matter. But the idea is this. We go to church and we've done our thing. And then when we exit the church, we don't have to, you know, it doesn't matter anymore. It does matter. Amen. You know, there are, and I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. But do you know there are expectations of being a child of God? Amen. There are. And this old, you know, well, we're just all sinners mentality and God understands. No. No. If you are a child of God, if we are children of God, there are expectations just like you as parents have expectations of your children, right? You expect your children to mind you, and we went through all that this morning and obeying and all that, and that rightfully so. But our Heavenly Father has expectations of us as professing children of God. The physical does matter. He does care how we live from day to day. And I think it's because of such teaching that, well, I know it is because of such teaching that you can't tell the Christians from the non-Christians anymore. But we go on. I love the last part of this. Verse 19. There are people who stray, he says. And there are false teachers out there leading people astray. But Timothy, you hold on to this, buddy. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. I love that. Timothy, you hold on to the truth. And I'm reminded of Matthew 16 and 18, where Peter was told upon this rock, where Jesus told Peter, he asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" He said, "You're the Christ, the Messiah." And Jesus said, "That's right, Peter. And as you are, Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You know, and I've spent the first part of this message talking about religions and that are going astray. But I want to tell you something. God is still God. And there are some very foundational, doctrinally pure churches that are still in existence that Satan has not conquered today. There are. I believe victory is one of them. And he will not conquer as long as we, as the membership of victory, as the people of victory, will keep that guard up. That we will reject false teaching. And that we'll take to heart the warnings. Because, you know, victory, God is blessing victory. Okay? He's doing great things at victory. And I praise God for that. It's not the pastor. It's not associate pastors. It's not music that's going on in victory. God's happening at victory. Okay? And that's why good things are happening. But you know what? Where God's working, guess who's trying to infiltrate what God's doing? Satan is also working. And one of his tools is false doctrine. Now, I'm not talking about those things that, you know, there are some spiritual things that are a lot of fun to talk about, but are not black and white, you know? But there's some foundational black and white doctrinal truths that we can never afford to let go of. Amen. May we stand faithful. Why? Because, and it even gets better, verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. I love that. The Lord knows who are His. As we sit here today, the Lord knows who've committed their life to Jesus Christ and the ones that are just going through the motions. God knows those who are real and those who are phony. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you're a Christian, it's going to show up in your life, my friend. In verse 20, he goes even farther. But here's the warning. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor and some for dishonor. This is a warning. Okay? And Paul's saying, but here's what you got to know. God, the solid foundation of God stands. But you need to know this. In every great house, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Those of gold and silver and those of wood and clay. What's he talking about there? There's the real deal and there's the phonies. There's those who are standing and who will stand upon the truth of the Word of God. And there are those that it don't matter what a church believes or practices as long as they have a good time while they're there. Yeah. There's the real and there's the phony. And that's why he said, God knows. God knows who's real and who's not. He said, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood, clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Paul says God knows who the real thing is. And it's only the real, those vessels of honor, that actually make a difference in this life. You know, it may be tough, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes as a pastor, it's hard. It's hard to tell people things that you know they don't want to hear. And it's hard to take a stand and say, no, you're wrong. And it's hard, you know, but it's required if we're going to be faithful to the Lord. Not only is it required of the pastor, it's required of the membership. Amen? Now, you as members, you need to know those foundational doctrines that do matter. As I said before, there are some things that are black and white, there are some things that are not. But I'll tell you what, salvation by grace through faith is not negotiable. Baptism by immersion is not negotiable. Security of the believer is not negotiable. Why? Because we can go into the Word of God and it doesn't take us very long to figure out what eternal life really is. And that Jesus Himself said that no man will pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know, there are some foundational truths that we must hang on to. There are some foundational truths about morality that we must hang on to. Now that doesn't give us the right to attack those who are living immoral outside the church and abuse anyone. No. But may we never come to the point where we accept immorality in any shape, form, or fashion. May we be faithful as we stand as a church, because God knows what's going on. You know what? God knows what's happening in this church. He does. And like I say, boy, good things are happening, and those good things are happening because God is blessing. But He also will know if we let things infiltrate that do not belong in His church body. Can't afford that. Can't afford it. That's Paul's admonition here to Timothy. Timothy, be on your toes, buddy. Is there false teachers out there? Oh, they sound good, and they draw people, but they're not real. Let us all be real as we serve the Lord. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to give you an opportunity to come to salvation. You got to know this, that Jesus loves you, that you're a sinner, and that without Jesus Christ there is no hope, but in Jesus Christ there is eternal life. Have you called upon Jesus Christ to make Him your Lord and Savior? If not, we want to give you that opportunity to do so tonight. Will you come during this invitation and give your heart to Jesus, our Father in heaven? We praise You and we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And Lord, in a world that is no longer taking a stand and no longer standing upon the truth of Your Word and declaring the right, the righteousness of Your Word, Lord, help us to be that shining light so that the world may know what the truth is by the message that we preach as well as the life that we live. Lord, I pray in this invitation for strength for everyone present here tonight. Lord, as we go out from this place, we go out knowing that we'll face life tomorrow. That should You bless us with the blessing, we'll have to go out and go to our various places of employment, meet the various challenges that may come our way. I pray, Lord, for courage to stand when a stand is needed. I pray, Lord, for strength to stand against the wiles of the devil. Lord, glorify Your name in this church as we meet from time to time, and glorify Your name in this church as we go outside these walls to live for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.